Chapter 15. I met my wife, Felicity Blunt, at her sister's wedding a little over a year after Kate had died. The wedding took place in Lake Como at a gorgeous home owned by a friend of the affianced couple, whose name rhymes with George Clooney. I had taken the train there from Florence as I was staying in Tuscany with my parents, my three children, my stepdaughter, and my father-in-law. This was a trip that Kate and I had always wanted to make with all of the above, but due to her lengthy illness, we were never able to. So I had decided to make it in her honor. The wedding was a three-day affair, and for me, as I had barely been away from my family for some time before Kate's death, it was a welcome and, I discovered, much-needed respite. I saw some dear friends and met a few new ones, including the aforementioned sister of my friend, whom I would end up marrying a few years later. Felicity and I chatted over those few days quite a bit, meaning she practically stalked me. There is CCTV footage. Most of our discussion centered around food. Conveniently, in about 2 weeks' time, I was to begin filming Captain America in London, where she lived, and we decided we would meet up for dinner. Thus began a romance that was food-centric. During those few weeks in London, we ate at many a great restaurant, the first being the recently closed Ledbury, run by two Michelin-starred chef Brett Graham, and above which Felicity conveniently lived. Now, I am not one who is necessarily drawn to the Michelin star. I often find that many of the restaurants that have earned this coveted award are a bit fussy, to say the least, and I've left a few of them completely famished, as I have never found pretentiousness very filling. However, this was not the case with the Ledbury. The small dining room was elegant, and the tables quite far apart from one another, and at times it seemed there were more staff than patrons even when it was full. There was a warmth that both the room and the people exuded that put one instantly at ease. I chalked this up to Brett's personality, for, as they say, the fish stinks from the head down. But in this case, it was a good stink. Although the food at the Ledbury was rarefied, Brett himself is not. He is very genial and relaxed for someone who works with such intensity and has maintained a standard of excellence for a very long time. The Ledbury was voted one of the 50 best restaurants in the world for many years running. The first time we ate at the Ledbury, Felicity suggested we order the tasting menu so we might partake of as much of Brett's food as possible and the accompanying wine pairings. Each dish, from the Kumamoto oysters to the stuffed loin of rabbit, was extraordinary. Our subsequent visits inevitably found us ordering the tasting menu almost every time. One night, after yet another extraordinary meal, Brett was kind enough to invite us into the kitchen for a tour. The kitchen was small and unremarkable, considering the quality and complexity of the food it brought forth night after night. After a few minutes of perusing, we both noticed two pheasants, quite dead, but still intact, feathers and all, lying in a tray on the countertop. We started oohing and aahing over them, and were about to ask Brett how he might prepare them when he asked if we would like to take them home. My wife is an agent and I am an actor, and therefore we both know a good offer when we see one, so after Brett had explained how to cold pluck them, we spirited the fowl, tray and all, upstairs to her apartment and put them in the fridge overnight. The next morning was a Saturday, and we awoke with the excitement that comes with knowing one has a passionate mission to complete. We pulled the pheasants out of the fridge, made a morning beverage, and plopped ourselves in front of the television to watch my new favorite show, Saturday Kitchen, and pluck our birds. An hour and a half later, our dressing gowns covered in feathers, in the tray lay the denuded carcasses of the avian gifts Brett had bestowed on us the night before. It had been a perfect morning. Two food nerds becoming more emotionally intimate by tearing the feathers from a pair of dead birds. It makes no sense that this would give us both such joy, but in a way, it did. First of all, if you're a food lover, there's always something gratifying about connecting with the vegetable, the fruit, or whatever animal, whether you've grown it, raised it, or hunted it, before it becomes your food. But to make that connection and then connect with someone else simultaneously is an exalted, almost spiritual level of foodie intimacy. To me, it was one of the most romantic mornings I have ever spent sitting down. I struggle to remember how we prepared the pheasant, but in this case, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes the process is more satisfying than the result. Up until the Ledbury's sudden and very unfortunate closing, Felicity and I would always go there for dinner on special occasions, and even though Brett was always adding new dishes, if it was on the menu, we'd always order the pheasant, as a lovely reminder of when together we first plucked. Like too many restaurants, the Ledbury was forced to close by the COVID-19 pandemic. But the good news is that Brett is the director of a Michelin-starred gastropub in Fulham called the Harwood Arms. However, I've just checked and don't see pheasant on the website menu. I take this as a sign that he probably doesn't want us back. The second restaurant we would frequent was the now also defunct L'Anima, run by chef Francesco Mazze. I'm actually beginning to wonder if Felicity and I are bad luck. Like my family, Francesco hails from Calabria, yet his cooking is not focused only on the recipes of that region. Francesco is one of those chefs able to take classic recipes and breathe new life into them without overcomplicating the process or compromising the integrity of the dish. The first time Felicity and I went there, our meal lasted a good 3 hours. There came course after course after delicious course, which we washed down with copious amounts of wine. I finally reached a point where I had to stop eating, not only because my jet lag was kicking in, but simply because I was close to bursting. However, Felicity, dear, slender Felicity, was not ready to stop. She finished her final course as well as the rest of mine and continued chatting away as though it were not close to midnight and she didn't have to be in the office the next morning. Then suddenly, out of the corner of her still hungry eye, she spotted a cheese cart being rolled through the dining room. "Oh, a cheese cart? Yum! Let's have some cheese, shall we? Would you like some cheese?" "Well, I mean, sure, if you..." "Excuse me, can we take a peek at the..." She had caught the attention of the waiter with the wheels on wheels and successfully intercepted him, even though I'm sure he was on his way to another table. When she wants something, she has the gift of charmingly commanding attention in the way only the British do. Is it the accent? She's not posh, but when she speaks, her education is immediately evident, as are her innate intelligence and warmth. I guess the combination of all of these attributes is the reason she's so successful, has so many lovely friends, and I never win an argument. Well, anyway, before I knew it, the cheese cart was before us, and she was interrogating the waiter about the lactic makeup, provenance, and flavor profile of each cheese. She then ordered quite a few slabs, which she quickly devoured as though she hadn't eaten in days, along with some dessert wine, compliments of the chef. What happened after that is a blur, but before I knew it, we were dating seriously, and staving off gout became part of my daily routine. Whenever I came to visit Felicity in London, whether with or without my children, we always made a point to go to L'Anima. Francesco was more and more generous with every visit, oftentimes, in true Italian fashion, refusing payment completely, especially when the kids were with us. We loved his food and the Spartan, contemporary design of the space so much that we decided to have our wedding reception there a few years later. Of course, we had a series of tastings to figure out what the canapés and various courses would be. My father-in-law, Oliver, joined us for one of these gustatory marathons, and he still talks about it to this day. After a few of these ancient Roman-like ingest fests, we decided on a menu that was to feed 156 attendees. When the three-course meal had ended, guests would be encouraged to mingle and casually pluck their way through tables filled with various dolci and freely pour from bottles of every digestif available in Great Britain. Francesco suggested that if there were enough wine-soaked stragglers still roistering after midnight, he could serve up una spaghettata, which is basically a shitload of spaghetti with a simple tomato sauce. We agreed. Thanks to Felicity's meticulous planning, the brilliant staff of L'Anima, and Francesco's culinary prowess, the wedding day was a delicious success. As I said, we did serve some dolci in the form of pastries and the like, but you may notice that I have not mentioned cake, as in a proper multi-level frosted confection. This is with good reason, as neither Felicity nor I has a sweet tooth, yet we did provide a savory equivalent. This took the form of a massive six-tiered structure made entirely of wheels of cheese. Here is the wedding menu. Each course is named for one of the three children. Felicity's idea. 29th September 2012. Wines. Gavi di Gavi, Monte de Rondo, Villa Sparina. Magari, Ca Marcanda, Gaia. Gattinara, Riserva. Menu. Smoked aubergine and burrata with onion jam and hazelnuts. Beef tartare. Seafood salad. pickled cucumbers. Nicolo's course. Homemade maladredos with clams, colatura, light tomato, and botarga. Camilla's course. Salt-crusted, line-caught sea bass served with extra virgin olive oil and lemon dressing. Isabel's course. Spit-roast rib of veal with roasted potatoes and zucchini fritti. Flourless chocolate cake, fresh fruits, cannoli siciliani, homemade ice creams and sorbets. Wedding cheesecake platter with condiments and fresh figs. Digestifs in the private wine room. Pasta served at 1 a.m.